and welcome to the QU on QU Media Podcast Network. Quincy University students are telling your stories each week. I'm Chloe Knott, along with Eric Stafford, Madison Norris, Micah Wheeler and Evan White. The semester is flying by, guys. I can't believe it's already the last day of March. And speaking of, that means tomorrow is April 1st, which is April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day has been around for a lot longer than I expected. I looked it up, 16th, 15th century, it was still going on. So many, many pranks over hundreds of years. Have you guys ever pulled off a good prank or had a prank pulled off on you?
I mean, some people, they could get a little carried away with the 1st of April. Like, I feel like it's a certain level of joking that you could get away with. Like, once you get to start talking about death, like, oh, my cousin died, and, like, it's April 1st, it's like, are you serious or are you just playing? Right. Like, come on now, bro. Like, don't play like that. But, joke that we pulled, I want to say it was high school. It wasn't my class, but it was, I think it was the senior class before mine. We had a big old cow because we're known as the Longhorns. So we had a big old cow. It was a plastic cow that was on top of the, where you get your snacks, so your concession stand. So it was on top. They took the cow and put it, like, in some teacher's classroom. It was crazy, crazy. So that was probably the most wildest thing that I seen on the 1st of April.
I know there's been, like, for me personally, a lot of just, like, little jokes here and there pulled, but it's like, haha, right. It was funny for a second, but now give it up.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking that in my head. I was like, April Fool's, I'd say, it used to be kind of fun or whatever. We getting older now, so it's just a regular day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Sorry, just got to make it through without figuring out someone doing something to you.
Right.
But I know I have seen a few pretty good ones pulled off just by, like, big companies and things like that, that either, you know, some food company brings out some disgusting food. Or I know once back home in Sydney Harbour, this guy called Dick Smith brought an iceberg, not really an iceberg, into the harbour. And I think that that got some people for a fair while until it rained and they figured out it was just a barge covered in shaving cream and tops. But they do some pretty good ones, but yeah, I know for us, I mean, especially as an athlete, you can't joke about, like, getting injured. I know we play Saturday, so.
I was going to say, we did that last year to my coach. We have a couple first-team all-GLVC, and we had our GLVC, like, top player come in with this leg cast on and walking in crutches, and Bao gave our coach a heart attack, but yeah, that's all right.
You got to take care of it.
All in good humor.
That's right. Well, on to our stories for this week. Maddie, there was some new Hall of Fame inductees for QU. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so this past Saturday, and ironically enough, the Hall of Fame room, we celebrated 9 new inductees. There were 5 individuals, 2 volunteers, and 2 teams. So we inducted the 1999 baseball team, the 1966 bowling team, Jennifer, now I'm sorry, might butcher some of these last names, I'm really trying, but Jennifer Nimiera, Jill Unerstel, James Milkert, Kyle Pryor, and Ed Greel. So then we also, really cool, had 2 volunteers that were actually also brought into the Hall of Fame. They're a set of twin brothers. Harold and Gerald are their names. Gerald goes by Jerry. I'm sure you have seen their faces. If you've ever been to a QU game, you have had to have seen their faces around campus combined. They actually have over 107 years of volunteer service around the QU community. And they just do it because they love meeting new people and they love getting to see the athletes. They were never athletes themselves. they just have involved themselves volunteering at the school and everything for years.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so it's people like that that really make the Hall of Fame so cool because, yes, you know, our athletes love to be rewarded for their hard work, dedication, and success, but it's also people like that that make it possible, and we throw the celebration to also bring friends and family in because friends and family are a huge part of what makes an athlete a good person and who they are outside of athletics. So there's a really cool audio clip from Jennifer, one of the inductees, who talks very sweetly about her family. So we'll play that now.
Yeah, all right, let's check it out.
As I sat down to write a few words to share today, my late father's voice echoed through my mind. Throughout my life, whenever I had to give a speech, I would consult my dad for words of wisdom. And my dad would usually say, in the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, be sincere, be brief, and be seated. Then he would follow that up with his own quote, stand up, speak up, and shut up. Nevertheless, any way you put it, that's what I plan to do. I have a lot of people in my life that made this honor possible. First and foremost, I'd like to thank my parents. My father, who passed away this past November, drove me everywhere I needed to be and sat through countless practices and games. My dad and I logged hundreds of hours together in the car, and it was during this time that we bonded and became closer than ever. I miss him every day, but I'm beyond grateful for the special moments we spent together, talking, singing, laughing, and enjoying each other's company. To my mom, who's here with me today, thank you isn't enough for all you've done for me over the years. Sports is one aspect of my life where your wisdom, comfort, and calm demeanor helped me cope with both my successes and my failures. I strive every day to be more like you, and if my kids respect and love me half as much as I respect and love you, I will have earned your highest and favorite compliment. You done good, kid.
So, to me, I'm an athlete, and all of us sitting around here right now, we're athletes. So we get exactly where Jennifer's coming from. And personally, my journey in sports has been far from easy. And, you know, we've had extreme failures and extreme successes. And they're the one constant and consistent thing in our journey. So for me personally, I feel all of Jennifer's emotion in that and all of her thanks to her parents. And we know that it goes past our parents, but our parents are the root of all of it. So it's just a really special moment that she got to have.
Yeah, for sure. It is. Of course, we couldn't do it without them. We've made it this far because, you know, they've got us involved. They've taken us where we need to growing up to stay, you know, in teams, to make it to practices and trainings and all those kind of things.
All the sacrifices that they make to make sure that everything we want and need comes to life is just so incredible. And, I mean, I think I speak for all of us when I say, like, we're all just so thankful that our parents have been there for us in that journey. And it's just a really cool experience for these athletes to get to have their family there and to get to applaud their family members for all that they've done because that award wouldn't have been possible without them. So like athletic director Josh Raby, he also mentioned multiple times, you know, we applaud all of the family members, all of the teammates, all of the coaches, all of the people and the volunteers outside of that athlete's individual success that made it possible. And I thought that that was a really cool side take on, you know, just this athlete's success.
Yeah, absolutely. It does take a whole team. It takes a whole family and a whole lot more.
Takes a whole university. Yep. I mean, a really whole does. Community.
But yeah, great to honor those athletes and volunteers and coaches and everyone involved. And yeah, congratulations to those who were added to the long list of the Hall of Famers. Now, Eric.
Yes.
I hear that you've looked at digital communications this week and how they are, I mean, it's such a big thing. I mean, right now we're talking together on a podcast that people are going to listen to online. But our world is so impacted by digital communication. How does the world communicate now?
I feel like in the last, especially this generation, the realists took a totally different route on communicating. I feel like verbally, I ain't going to say it's going extinct, but like, and especially with this next generation coming up, communication has went through a lot of texting, emailing, Snapchat, Instagram DMs, all that other stuff. Kids nowadays aren't verbally talking. I feel like we lack that in a lot of areas with this next generation. Even our generation, I feel like we lack that, just communication skills, just talking regular. I want to speak on, like, we need to really get back to, like, verbally, you know what I mean, going outside, little stuff like that, having friends over, families over. You can see that in the world, too. A lot of people aren't even doing family reunions anymore, family gatherings, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
It's crazy.
Like, it's just, like, families are breaking up. Like, I don't know what's up with this. I guess Zoom is too popular nowadays where they just want to Zoom over Christmas, right, or whatever. But it just took a totally different route.
Yeah, it has changed so much and in so short a time. Do you think, I think we were already going down this path, but do you think COVID and the pandemic and all the isolation that had to occur, do you think that has increased the use and reliance on digital communication?
Definitely. It made the jump even way bigger. It's a blessing, though, in a way, because I feel like, especially for, like, you, Chloe, you're long distance from your family, so, like, Zoom, FaceTime, all that stuff is great. But, you know, for families that are all in the same city, like, it's just weird when how are you all in the same city and you all don't even see each other. You might see each other four times a year, right, and you're 15, 10 minutes away. Like, it's just weird.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just different, especially for, like, younger kids. I feel like older people, they still go out and mingle or whatever, but they even took a toll where it's like they, you know what I mean, it is what it is, attitude towards if I see you, I see you. If I don't, I don't. You know what I mean? Nobody's reaching out no more. Nobody's making sure that we're doing it. And then social skills. Social skills are terrible nowadays. You can see that from so many people nowadays. Like, people might be really good book smart or whatever, but they don't even know how to hold a conversation or be engaged. Everybody's always on their phone or whatever. So it's just little stuff like that. You know what I mean? People can send you a 500-word essay through phone, but can't, you know what I mean, say 500 words in real life.
Right, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, definitely notice those little things, like whether it's a handshake or eye coordination, eye contact when you're talking to someone, all those little things that I think we're so used to in the past, but with digital communication, it often doesn't happen, and people kind of either don't learn if they're a younger generation or they kind of just push it aside. But do you think verbal communication will ever get popular again?
I don't know. The route is going, it probably won't. You can see that in so many ways. Like, even in, like, the dating life or whatever, people would rather break up or talk to you through text than, you know what I mean, than say it to you in person or whatever. Like, it's just bad out here. Like, I don't think the route's going to change, especially with so much. Every day is a new iPhone being made, new technology in some way, somehow. Like Nora was talking about yesterday, we think we have all the social media we need. And another year or two, it's going to be another TikTok or something. You know what I mean? Right. Something out there different. Like, what else do we need? You feel me? But they're going to keep on making it, keep on making money from it, because it is a money grabber too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a tricky thing of lots of positives and lots of negatives. But I think what we are privileged to do as communication students is to just make the best of digital communication to get the best out of it, but also improve all of our verbal communication skills, whether that's through just talking to each other, the communication we need as, like, a team working together. And I think hopefully we will continue to pass on those skills to those around us.
Yes. All right. And I have a segment on offtherip.com. You can check it out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, where we talk about social media destroying the youth. So go check that out.
All right, Eric, the podcast master over here. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more. Welcome back on to the QU podcast. Micah, you focused on something a little different, on athletes that have transferred from other schools.
Right.
And moving from either different cities, different states, there's a lot of different things that has to go into a student's decision to transfer to a different school. I know a few of us here are transfer students, but can you tell us more?
Yeah, so this is like a topic that's been on my mind for a little minute, because like me being a former football player, like there will be a lot of guys that would come in from different schools, different states, all that. And excuse me. And like just seeing how the trust that they had in Quincy University, like transferring from the previous school to a new school, sometimes would not be what they completely expected, you know? And it's kind of like heartbreaking to see them like they want it to work out. They want it to work out. Cause like, this is like some people, this is their only chance they get. Like this is their last chance and they just want the whole thing to work out. So just, my whole story is just really breaking down, like, what are the challenges, like, how to adjust to a new culture, a new way of schemes, like the game that you used to play back at your old school. So, like, adjusting to the new scheme that this coach has, how does it fit for your type of game? You know what I'm saying? So it's just taking a deeper dive into that.
Yeah, and what do you think the biggest challenges are for students that want to transfer?
One of the biggest challenges, I would say, this is because, like, I'm not a transfer student. I've been here for 4 years. But, like, this is just going based off of things that I've seen in my peers. One of their biggest challenges that I've seen, I would say, is just, simply adjusting to the culture. Some people adjust to the culture perfectly. Some people fit in like a glove, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just figuring out what their place is, what their role is, and how they can still have their needs met while still being a part of this new team that they're on.
What do you think? Do you think there's much of a difference for students transferring from like a community or junior college to a four-year college compared to a student that was at a four-year college transferring to a different four-year college?
That's a real good question. So I feel like, because people that have been to JUCO, they could tell you all manner of stories. Eric, I'm sure you went to JUCO. Yeah,
Eric,
they could tell
I
you all manner
of
stories. Like it's treacherous, but it teaches you at the same time. Like it's beauty in a struggle, honestly. And so, just learning how to still handle your business in order to get to a place that you want to be is probably the main thing that people need to focus on. Like if you're transferring from a JUCO to a four-year school, but if you've already been at a four-year school and transferred to a different four-year school, that's where, like I said, just figuring out the culture, because like it's college, like it's a four-year school, you're going to another four-year school. It's just making that transition to fit into what they've got going on and then still having your needs met, like I said.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Every student is different, has a different experience, of course. I mean, I was a transfer from like a JUCO. I know Maddie was from a 4 year. Eric, you're from a JUCO as well. What was your experience?
No, I was just going to say, like, I'm not going to say this for like all 4 year university people, but I just want to say, like, it teaches you a little bit more, like appreciating what your opportunity and stuff like that. Like, I see, like, a lot of guys, like, go straight, like, D1 or, like, straight to university. They might take this crap for granted or whatever, you know what I mean? And there's guys that go D1, D2, and then have to go back to JUCO, and they real, like, it make them, they personality change a little bit, and they learn a little bit, and it make you more humble, too, because, like, dang, I really, you know what I mean? I'm really at the bottom or whatever. I really got to get out the mud now, because it be some people be so cocky or whatever, and they mindset be, like, too high. Like, where it's like, yo, you not all that. Like, you know what I mean? You got to humble down. And then it make you be more coachable, more listening, more assertive in a way. You know what I mean? Not for everybody, but, you know, I feel like a lot of people can be like that when you get straight to it. Sometimes you got to get knocked off your pivot to really realize stuff. And I feel like that's where you come from, too. Like, everybody come from different areas. Mm-hmm. So some people got knocked off early, and some people get knocked off later in life. You know what I mean? That's just one of the biggest things.
I definitely probably – so I was at a D1. I was young and naive, and I think that's where when it comes to committing your first time or even your second time – obviously, I was a little older my second time, but it has so much to do with what the coaches and the environment shows you, because – yes, it's about adapting to the culture, but if the coach does a good enough job and the team does a good enough job, or there should be no issue in your movement. They are exactly, they are the culture. But when people decide to tell you one thing and it's the complete opposite, that's when you're going to have an issue. And I didn't fit into the culture at my first school. And that's why I did choose to leave. I was unhappy. I did not get along with the coaches. I did not see myself living a happy, successful career there. So that's when I opened my search again. And luckily, here at QU, Quincy University did such an incredible job, not even trying to, like, hype up QU because, I mean, we're QU students. But, like, Quincy did such a good job being honest. They showed me exactly what they had to offer me, and what I was shown is what I was given. And as soon as I got here, I knew I was home. I knew I was in the right place. I knew that what I needed was going to be received.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. I think we just, as athletes and just as people, we just want to know what we're getting into, and I think that serves both us and the coach and the team. I mean, if you give false expectations and false hopes to a student coming in, they're not going to fit in the way that you wanted them to. And they're not going to enjoy their experience, and that's not an asset to a team, no matter how good a student is.
Yeah, and they're already going to have expectations of what they want and what they're looking for and what you've told them. They're going to have these expectations set, and then when they aren't met, that's when there's issues, and that's when you're not going to fit like a glove, and you're going to be unhappy. So I think it really boils down to whether the coach, the team, and the university is being forward, like, you have to be in a good place with them, and you have to understand exactly what you're getting. We actually did an entire segment on QU TV that you can go look up on YouTube. And like Micah said, he did an entire story on QUmedia.net. So I would definitely suggest checking them out, because there's multiple segments on QU TV with the director of the transfer portal, with students, there's several aspects of it. And you're getting an exclusive with some transfer athletes here, because it really does depend on the person. And
For sure. Yeah. We got to check out a whole bunch of stuff last week on QTV, from students, from staff members, coaches, just going through the whole process, because we know it's daunting. A lot of us have been there, choosing another school or choosing your first school. So we hope that we can be there to give you some more information and help you guys out.
Because, though, some of us are transfer students as well, if you guys have questions, we would love to answer your questions, or if you would like advice in certain aspects, reach out to us on social media, because we have answers for you, because half of us in here are transfer students.
Absolutely. You can always contact QU Media, QTV on social media, on our website, But continuing on, we're going to talk to Evan now. Evan got the chance to go and check out some conducting from some students over the last, I think yesterday, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And what exactly did you get up to?
So I went to check out the symphonic band here, and Professor Mako is over the band. So just a couple of his students was able to play. They were actually rehearsing for a recital. So I was able to be in a hallway and kind of like sit outside with the camera just to get some audio clips. And when I heard it, it kind of gave me like a classic type vibe. And it was so like interesting. So I asked them what instruments were they using. So a couple of their instruments that you can hear in here is they were using a tuba, which is a brass instrument. You can hear the French horn. There were trumpets and a couple trombones. So I was real excited just to, you know, get the opportunity to be in there and listen to them.
Yeah, they're really cool. We'll turn this up a little bit for you guys. But it's really just nice to hear about what other students are doing here. We often just get kind of focused on our own major, of course, and what we have to do as students to get by and finish our classes and do what we need to. But there's some really cool stuff that other students are doing out there. And I know not just music, but conducting, like learning to conduct, such an interesting skill that not many of us really know about. But yeah, it's I love music, and it's cool to listen to some other students play some stuff. Do you guys, any of you guys play anything?
I play the piano. Yeah? I mean, I ain't really grandiose at it, but like, yeah, I could pick out a tune, you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A little bit of practice, I'd be solid on it, you know? That's my main instrument. I'm going to try to get into some more stuff, like maybe the drums. I do want to learn how to play the drums, I ain't going to lie. And maybe the bass or the saxophone. I ain't going to lie. Music is my thing. Like, I love music. Real talk. Just listening to this just made me so happy, real talk. But, yeah, it's a journey.
You know, God blessed me with a lot of talents that I'm so thankful for. But unfortunately, I was never musically talented growing up. My grandpa actually was like the choir director and everything. So I sang and I took voice lessons, and you will never catch me singing in front of people. But like when it comes to instruments, absolutely not. I applaud people for being musically talented because I could never figure it out.
Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of practice and a lot of time, I know. And for some people, it does seem to come a little easier than others.
Let me tell you, though, I could tear it up on that recorder back in fourth grade. Let me tell you.
That's what really matters, isn't it?
That was my thing.
All right. And for our last segment of the day, our Hawk Hack. Very exciting stuff. We're going to learn about some helpful hints or tips about the shuttle system in Quincy. We know that we can get the shuttle from main campus to North Campus and back. That's pretty standard for a lot of students, but there is more available. Did you guys know that you can use your student ID for any bus around Quincy to travel for free? They have bus stops on Google Maps, so you can check out where you can get taken to, I think from like downtown, Walmart, all the way in between. So if you don't have a car or you don't have anyone to give you a ride, you can just jump on a shuttle, which is a great resource.
Somebody would have told me that freshman year.
Right. Yeah, I had no idea until last semester. We sat down with the Q Transit operator, and he, you know, laid it all out for us. And he was like, you know, I don't know why QU doesn't, you know, show you guys and tell you guys this enough, because we would love for you guys to use it more often, because it is, you know, a privilege that we get. But there's an entire segment on QU Media that you should take a look at if you are curious on the scheduled times of the shuttle, of where you can get picked up, dropped off, and the busiest times versus, like, there's a whole entire segment.
Yeah, you guys kind of did some research on the schedule and timing of what's available, really dug into that last semester, and it's a great resource. That's on QUmedia.net. But yeah, a great thing. I didn't have a car for a long time and had to rely on other people to get around, or I used a bike a lot. But right. Really handy and a great opportunity to have like free access to transport.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially, yeah. Obviously, daytime hours mostly, and standard routes. But there's some bus stops pretty close to the main campus. I know, and yeah, all over town.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's one right outside of He Line.
Yeah, as something well. Like that. Yeah, and yeah, by the baseball field, I think, and just
right off of Broadway,
off like Broadway if you take, and 18th.
Yeah, take a couple. What, two blocks, and then you're right there and can go. They'll take you out to Walmart. They will take you literally anywhere.
Yeah, and there's a few different routes and schedules. So, you can go to the City of Quincy to check out those or on Google as well. But that's all we have for you today and this week. Hope you guys have a great first week of April. Thanks for joining us on the QU podcast. From Madison Norris, Evan White, Eric Stafford, and Michael Wheeler, I'm Chloe Knott. This is a QU Media Podcast Network production. You can find us on social media and online at QTV or QUmedia.net.